Talk Comics, WTC, episode number 63 is on the air and in your ears. Back to our regular format after some fun specials the last couple weeks. I am Mo, and we're going to go around the room with one of our usual features we love to go to, and that's to get their hosts to introduce themselves by what they've been reading, watching, or doing. So we're open up with you, Brett.
Well, I'm Brett, and I've been catching up on my Marvel now, and also reading a whole lot of Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips books.
All right, and Chris?
I've been rewatching Dexter, and I've started Invincible again. I started issue one, and in the last week, I've made it up to 28. Really enjoying the series.
And Keith?
Well, I have been reading a lot of Image books. I just caught up on Danger Club, which is a great book. And watching every holiday season, my wife and I watch a whole pile of TV seasons. We pile them up. So we watch Dexter, Boardwalk Empire, and whatever the other one was. And we're caught up on Elementary. haven't seen American Horror Story yet. The whole thing's waiting for me. Caught up on Elementary.
And of course, I'm Mo, and let me see, what have I been doing? I don't know, getting ready for my trip to the Royal Rumble next week. So let's go. Let's talk. What is this episode called, Brett?
Well, this is episode 63, Predicting Tomorrow Now.
Predicting Tomorrow Now. That's right. Again, it will make sense. It will make sense. You have to be patient. Stick with us. But we're going to open up with one of our regular features. We haven't got to it in so damn long. I'm not even sure how far back he's going to go. Let's see what the weekly news with Cub Reporter K is up to. Of course, sponsored by the best comic book website for reviews, news, opinions, anything else that that Chris really desires. Really, Chris, it's all about you. I mean, I know you shake if you don't visit Comicosity
daily, right?
I've missed
it, man.
I know. You shake if you don't go there daily.
You know what? I've missed the news, but I love Comicosity.
Comicosity, our proud sponsor of the news, and of course, Brett and Keith do some writing for them as well. And run by the classiest men in comics, Matt Centauri Griffin. I get it right?
Nope, probably got it wrong.
Matt Centauri Griffith, I said. I told you. And as Keith shakes his head at me. And Aaron Long. Why can't he just have a simple name like Aaron Long?
Just call him Matt Long.
Matt Long. Matt and Aaron Long.
They're brothers.
Comicosity. At PhotoCub on Twitter. I know that one. With an F. All right. Let's get to the weekly news with Cub Reporter K.
All right. We've seen the announcement of the new X-Men title, which is actually an X-Women title. This is writer Brian Wood and artist Oliver Coypel, I'm going to go with, which is an all-female cast. We have... who do we have here? Jubilee, Phoenix, Rogue, Storm, Psylocke, and Kitty Pryde.
Question. First off, I thought a lot of those characters were dead. How many of those characters have in the past at one point been dead?
Well, the X-Men, so most.
Yeah, we're trying everybody anyways.
Maybe all of them.
For the record, I don't think Jubilee has.
You don't think Jubilee's been dead?
I don't think so.
I think she's been dead ever since that cartoon series in the mid-90s when last time she was relevant. And here's my other question, because I see this this ad, and when I was reading one of these Marvel books, I see this ad where Storm is kissing Wolverine. Isn't she married to Black Panther? I mean, I don't know.
Their marriage was annulled.
Ah, so they don't love each other anymore?
They were on opposite sides in the war.
Oh, that's it. That war costs a lot of people a lot of things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Actually, as long as we're doing X-Men catch-up, does Jubilee still have that lame power?
Their power is to make things go Jubilee.
Is it different than her original lame? Is it different than the original lame power she had?
Yes.
And then I don't even know what power was.
I was 90% sure Chris was going to.
She still sparkle.
Does she still have the? I was sure Chris was going to. She still have the lame pink glasses and yellow raincoat. Does she still have
No, I know those are gone.
Okay, good. Thank God. Thank God.
That was a great
look. I just want to know if she can still make sparkles out of her fingertips.
Look, Keith, you can pull that off, but not everybody can.
I'm wearing it right now. That's how I dress for the podcast.
No pants,
right? No pants? No pants.
None of us wear pants during a podcast. This is a No Pants Podcast product. Productions. No pants.
That's right. It's breezy in here.
Inside joke, folks.
All right.
Oh, by the way, novel idea. If you're going to have a book with all women, have a woman work on it. I'm just saying.
Hey, it's a start that they actually have a book with all women.
That's true. Well, I've never accused them
of
hating women.
It's a start that they have a book with a woman.
Yes, baby steps, right? Baby steps.
No, Mark? Like I said, I've never accused them of hating women. That's DC's job.
I think Marvel's probably still running ahead on points with female lead books. DC's hasn't been doing great shakes on that for a while.
No.
All right. Speaking of DC, we've got 4 cancellations with the new solicits. We have.
Can I make a guess?
Well, okay, I'm going to go. There's one Vertigo title.
Okay.
There is one All Ages title, and there are 2 New 52 books. So, and Mo, you don't know the answer to this question?
No, I don't know the 2 New 52.
Okay, take your guess.
Does anybody know the answer?
You know there?
Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad is not one of them.
Ooh.
I know one of the New 52 titles.
Try to guess the other one.
Grifter's already canceled, right?
Grifter is already canceled.
So that doesn't count.
And God, the last issue came out this week, and I saw it, and I'm like, wasn't this done months ago?
Blue Beetle's already canceled, right?
Correct.
Team 7 is the one that's going.
Team 7's a good guess. I'll go with Team 7.
He's not Team 7.
I think they have plans for Team 7. And, you know, not sales plans, because it doesn't sell. But,
All right. Well, the All Ages, right. Obviously, that would be
Batwing?
Easy.
Is it Batwing?
It is not Batwing either. All right. Well, we're going to call this game on the count of everyone else at home has already looked up the answer. The Vertigo title at issue 14, a book I really liked, Saucer Country, will come to an end.
Oh, yes.
I remember doing that one.
Reviewing the issue number 1 and enjoying that and thinking I would go back to it at some point. I just forgot about it.
Now you can.
Go back to the complete Saucer Country omnibus. Okay. Superman Family Adventures, unfortunately, is concluding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sad.
That is a downer. If only I had been buying it, I guess.
It's all your damn fault.
It is. It is. I blame myself personally. And I know that most people do. The 2 New 52 titles that will end are DC Universe Presents.
That makes sense.
I Vampire.
Oh, I Vampire, I thought was already gone too. Yeah.
That was about 16 issues too late. But
I'm pretty sure I saw the December sales figures. I'm pretty sure Suicide Squad actually had lower sales than either one of those two.
I know the Suicide Squad has had an uptick because of the death of the family, though.
Okay.
It would have the last December January issues would have ticked up quite a bit, and it went into second print for the November issue because of the death of the family crossover. So I imagine that one will wait until they see if any of that audience holds.
If any of it holds, yeah, makes
sense. It'll flatline.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. All right. Anything else, Keith?
What else? Yeah, we've got a writer.
We haven't done news in seven or eight years.
There's been a writer swap, a writer shuffle.
Kind of like a wife swap, but not as kinky.
That's right. You just put in your pencil instead of your keys, and whichever pencil you get when you leave. I can't imagine that any writer today uses a pencil, but you know.
I was going to say, it'd be great. Keith, why didn't you just say they put in their typewriter? What's the matter with you?
That's right. You just put in the key to your telex.
That's a pretty big hat.
So prior, it looks like Robert Venditti will not be doing Constantine after all, or as more properly, Constantine, which I have a lot of trouble saying. Constantine will be by Jeff Lemire and Ray Fox.
Oh, that'll be good.
Lemire will be overseeing, and Lemire is staying on Justice League Dark, so expect those two books to work together quite well.
I mean, I thought Venditti would also do a good job, but I like that. Is Venditti doing something else?
Yes, he will have something else coming up from DC, and he's staying on EXO as well.
Oh, awesome.
So it was a sense that he was... And the editorial statement basically was that he was a little busy to be working on that book, so... And other things in the pipe for him.
Well, isn't it working with Bernard Chang for what's that... I forgot the name of the book, but because Bernard Chang is so confident in the book, and I know it's one of the books that he's giving away 20 pages of art, but you have to buy 6 copies of the book and prove it to him, and he will send you a page of art from the book.
Is this a DC book?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just can't remember the actual book. I would do that in a second.
I don't really know how he believes in it
enough that he wants every fan to buy six copies. 20 fans should buy 6 copies, basically. The first 20 fans who buy 6 copies. So you've got guarantees, you know.
Luckily, we have the technology to look it up, Brett.
Well, I'm going to give one last news story while you're looking that up. The 2012 GLAAD Awards for comic books, the nominees are Astonishing X-Men, Batwoman, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Earth 2, and Kevin Keller.
There's not a lot of surprises there.
No, there really isn't, is there?
It's a pretty mainstream list, though. Two DCs and a Marvel. That'll be a change from the past for sure.
Robert Venditti and Bernard Chang will be working on Demon Knights, and he will be giving away 20 pages from Demon Knights number 16. All right, there we go. Cleared up.
And that should bring up the sales of Demon Knights to 6.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, as much as I'd like his art, I'm not sure it's worth it. That's going to...
Yeah, 6 copies of...
Well, it's also Venditti. It's just, yeah, that's a bit of a tough sell, but it is also Venditti who I like.
Oh, it'll be 120 copies of the book.
I was told there'd be no math.
Damn it! But at least we got it right, so I think.
Someone at home will have to check that.
Yeah.
I've run out of toes and fingers.
And that's the news.
All right, that is the news. All right, first off, we're going to talk the now part, and then we're going to talk the predicting tomorrow part, because we are going to make some predictions on this show as to what's going to happen in 2013. Some wacky, fun predictions, or maybe not so wacky. I don't know what the guys have prepared. Everybody's got 4 they're going to throw out there, and they'll throw out their prediction. If anybody else wants to participate and make a prediction on one of theirs, they will do so. Meanwhile, we're going to catch up on what's been going on with Marvel, Brett's pick for Publisher of the Year at the We Talkies. And now that we're going to get to talk a little more about Marvel, I'm going to get into it a little more with him about that, as I did in the car ride to work a little this morning, too. But I've been saving it. Brett, as your topic, where are we going?
Well, why don't we start with the first book that, not A plus X, but the first book to come out, which was Uncanny Avengers. Who's been reading that one? Anybody?
Well, how many has it published? Isn't it that the one having publishing issues?
Yeah, I think it's only two so far.
Yeah, it was Keith at Alpha Comics who's been so good to us. Good man. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, what did I say? Keith, I'm sorry. Chris Humphreys at Alpha Comics who's been so good to us. And he was talking about how much the sales on that have dropped simply because it hasn't shipped and how much he's having trouble, people are pulling it from their pull list.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I mean, I've read both of the issues, and I like where it's going, but I understand because I think I don't care that much about the time that it takes to come out because I read things at such odd times anyways that if it takes 3 months, I barely notice. I'm like, oh, new issue, excellent, finally. But you know, if otherwise, some of the books that are double shipping are already on issue 6, and I'm like, oh my, I can't get there. I'm so far behind. Help. I mean, I like the book a lot. I think it's got some really nice
I mean, nice we reviewed it so long ago. Remind me, who's the creative team on it?
Rick Remender and John Cassidy. That's the one with the Red Skull as the primary villain.
Okay. I don't know. They did not ship anything in December at all. That's not good. I think just basically, regardless of what you're saying about quality, and it doesn't affect you, I don't see how you can't classify this as a fail.
No, I mean, I guess you certainly could.
I'm not sure if it was whose fault it is.
It was a stupid place to start Marvel Now. I didn't like the book. I didn't know it wasn't coming out because I didn't care. Yeah, this is the weakest of the Avengers books, in my opinion. So.
Okay.
Well, I think that's great. Right. It's the only Avengers book I have the slightest interest in.
That's funny.
Number 3 hits is supposed to ship on January 23rd. So, well, I mean
that's, if they can get back to monthly now, then good. But, you know.
From here, it's hurt them, though.
But so. We'll see, yeah.
We'll see, yeah. All right, Brett, what else we got?
All New X-Men, the Brian Bendis and Stuart Immonen, which... for me, it is battling Spider-Man for my favorite Marvel book. I caught up just on the weekend here, and I love this book. I think it's really good.
I haven't read it. Anybody else?
I have a fear of the X-Men, so I'm not reading it.
Keith?
I will 100% agree with Brett. I think this is one of the top probably in the top 3 Marvel books right now. And really happy with that number 5.
Yeah, and the best part is that you don't need to actually be reading any of the other X-Men books. I think it really stands up nicely, and I think it's a great starting point for the X-Men overall.
All right, what else we got here then?
Captain America. I myself have only read the first issue. I'm behind the next couple, but I mean, I enjoyed it. It's one that for me, I'm willing to give the first arc probably go further, but I'm not the perfect guy to talk about it. Anybody else read it?
Anybody else read Captain America?
I've read the first 2. Quite enjoying it. It's kind of Kirby-esque. It's kind of like Captain Commandy.
Yes. Well, actually, I noticed on Wikipedia that. Remender described the tone to be almost like Kirby sci-fi Indiana Jones.
Definitely where Remender is going with the art, yeah.
You know, I stayed away from this one just on the premise of it wasn't Brubaker. I love that run so much. And that was the last Captain America I read. And I haven't been a big fan of Rick Remender. Reminder, is it?
Remender.
Remender. But
let's call him Rick Reminder from now on. What the hell? I like that.
The Kirby-esque style could get me in the book. I might check this one out.
I think that this is a lot like when Romita worked on Daredevil, with Anna Senti, that it was so radically different than what had come previous that actually it was kind of cleansing the palate. I mean, this is. Absolutely nothing like what Brubaker was doing.
And I like that element. I'm kind of happy about that. Brubaker had such a long run on it that it is nice to see something else happen. And I think the fact that it is kind of sci-fi, that's a really different take for Captain America.
I'm actually mad at myself now for not checking this one out.
Well, number 3 came out this week.
Yes, that's right.
What else we got, Brett?
Well, the next one is Deadpool by Brian Posehn, Jerry Duggan, and Tony Moore.
Issue 1 was so awful I couldn't go any further.
I read issue 1 and 2. I thought issue 1 was passable to the point where I thought maybe I could read the first story arc. I read issue 2 and I said, no, I can't read any more of this book. So wow, this one was a complete mess and it almost made me hope for the Nasisa run.
There you go.
Well, if you read two issues, Brett, you made it four times as far as I did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's pretty rough.
It's pretty rough, Only
book with a dinosaur on the cover that I had trouble making it to the end of the first issue. I love me some dinosaurs, but wow.
Enough said.
You like dinosaurs.
I love dinosaurs. And monkeys.
Mm-hmm. And put dinosaurs and monkeys together are even better.
Yeah. Which is the reason I love Devil Dinosaur so much.
All right. Well, our next batch, I think Fantastic Four and FF. I only read the first Fantastic Four and didn't like it. Can't carry on with that one. FF, I wasn't sold on the first issue of FF, but I actually did read the second issue, and I might be coming over not to Matt Fraction, but primarily just because of Allred. It is kind of a silly book that is fun, actually.
You know, this is a book, I read that first FF, and I loved it so much that I wanted to read Fantastic Four. And which I hated, but I actually wanted to stay with that. I was going to read some more Fantastic Four. The problem is, when I went in to get issue number 2 of FF, it was sold out. So I couldn't actually pick it up where I went into, and I haven't had a chance. I don't know if I'm going to get it digitally, but I have enough interest in FF, I might continue with Fantastic Four as well. But that's kind of, to me, I think that's a good sign. I mean, I don't think it's a top-selling book, but the particular place I got it, I'm not sure if they simply under-ordered or what it is, but there was enough interest that it wasn't in stock where I went to. So,
yeah, no, the FF has to be one of the best titles Marvel has, or any comic book company has. I love the FF. Unfortunately, with the Fantastic Four companion title, I believe it's a complete fail, and it's a double fail for me because I read the FF, and then I go, well, maybe I will just check out the Fantastic Four issue this month. So I'm up to date, but every time I feel a little reamed.
FF is good, and Fantastic Four sucks.
I mean, it sucks so incredibly badly in comparison to the
same
other
writer.
And they
but
have the same writer. I can't
but
understand
are they,
why.
But the question is, are they really? I mean, you certainly don't have to read both.
Oh, I know. It just one is so good, and then I somehow work it in my head. Maybe the thing won't sound like a moron when I read the Fantastic Four this
well,
month.
Apparently, your review of Fantastic Four, which I think we've covered now, Brett, if that was going next.
pretty much, yep. Well, they were together.
No,
They were together. But I think our cat Scott Angus agrees that everybody that it sucks.
Yes.
In the background there.
Yes, he is completely not happy with Fantastic Four. Understandable.
Good taste.
Yep. All right, next up, Indestructible Hulk by Moe's writer of the year, Mark Waid. And Lionel Yu, two issues in. Is it two or three? I think the third one came out this week.
I
haven't read it, but as a rule, I'm enjoying the run. Two issues in, I think it's a good take on the Hulk, and I like. I think there's lots of stuff being set up, so I'm a fan of this one.
You know what? I think nothing has happened two issues in, and again, we'll see what happens today. But the thing that scares me is I don't even see groundwork for storylines in the future plot threads being set up. It hasn't done much for me. It's kind of boring two issues in. That said, there's no way I'm giving it up because Mark Waid does have so much goodwill with me right now that I'm willing to bet. I think to some degree you could say the same thing with his Daredevil run. First couple of issues didn't seem like much was going on yet, a lot of setup, but necessarily couldn't see where I was going to, and then it really kind of kicked into high gear. So, yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Anybody else?
This is a strong title. My only problem with it is Jason Aaron's run on the Hulk right before the relaunch, or reimagining or relaunch of Marvel Now, was setting up some really interesting stuff, and for them just to abandon a lot of that, I find it a little bit jarring. But this is a quality book. If you haven't read what's going that has gone on before, I think jump on this one because this is the direction it's going to be going for a long time. It's a standout book. The art is really interesting. I could easily see this becoming the flagship Marvel title it deserves to be.
I don't know. Already. For it.
Too wordy for you. Issue one was too wordy for you.
That's it.
Keith doesn't really like to read. He liked the pictures.
Mark Wade is not Keith's writer of the year. All right.
That wasn't my cup of tea. I'm not a huge Hulk fan to start with, and that was Hulk on the third to last page.
Man, there's been some great Hulk and some Hulk I haven't dug.
There's been a lot of Hulk. Years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But at least he's not red.
He is not red.
All right. Next one is Iron Man by Kieran Gillen and Greg Land. I caught up to this one. I read the first issue, and again, it was one of those where I thought, okay, I'll, you know, first run, see what happens. Didn't really care for the first issue. Kind of got through the next couple, and I'm like, I'm not 100% sure it's going anywhere other than becoming another version of Armor Wars. And Greg Land, you know, he's a good artist, but man, the way he draws Tony Stark is just really annoying to me. Like, he's constantly squinting and being all crazy looking, and he reminds me of I forget who he reminds me of, but it just seems
that person.
It's just not, well, it's not Robert Downey Jr., that's for damn sure. And I'm not really digging Greg Land's art in it. I don't think I'll be carrying on past the first story arc.
Anybody else got anything to say on this?
I prefer to look at his original art in Jugs magazine that he traces from. Oh, Greg Land and your tracing.
Yeah.
Wasn't for me. Did not like to take it all.
Yeah.
All I can say is we probably reviewed for the podcast issue number one, but if we did, I can't even remember that. It was so unmemorable.
It is totally unmemorable. I actually went through issue number two to see if I'd read it, and I was just like, and it took me actually till like page 20 to realize that I had. You know, it was just like, oh,
wow,
okay.
Yeah. I love that you're demonstrating by making a face, but
yes.
the instincts are still there.
Yeah.
It's just gold. Oh, my cat is now freaking out. She knows what's coming. She knows what's coming next. Keep going.
Thor, God of Thunder, by Jason Aaron and Esad Ribic.
Is anybody reading that?
I'm actually reading it again. First arc. First issue. I was not there on at all. But as I read two and three, I gotta tell you, it was crazy. But I actually I'm starting to like where it's going. I just don't know if I can really carry on, because at the end of the day, he's Thor. And I just haven't had a great relationship with Thor over the years.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. I think everybody has that relationship with Thor. He's a character we'd like to like more, but can't. I don't know any hardcore Thor fans that have followed him for years.
No,
I have read some horrible Hulk comics in the years. Yet, I still buy the book, no matter what. Thor has that kind of fan base.
No, but he's one of those characters that he's just, because he's part of the Avengers, he's just grandfathered into a series, pretty much.
No, but he is. It's true. He's a character where if you hear something great's happening or a really great writer that you're a fan of is there, you'll go for the writer. But you're not a fan of the character, so as soon as something great's off, you're quick to let go of it, because you just go, yeah, it's Thor, big deal, pick it up next time, it's good again. You're not into not like Spider-Man, where you're like, I'm going to stick this out, keep reading this, because even if it's crap, because I love Spider-Man, and it'll get good again. It's got a different feel to it.
Well, with Thor, you read one good story arc, and you're like, ah, I'm good. Yeah. I don't need to read this for the next 12 years.
I have read some terrific Thor over the years, but I can't say I'm a huge fan of the character. Like, anytime you have a character who comes from a completely different world, one with steeped in mythos that you may or may not understand, who speaks a little bit differently and is so incredibly powerful that you can't relate to him, it's just tough to have that connection, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, after Warren Ellis's four issue run on Thor, I've been totally good since then. Really.
Well, it's surprising though that this is one of the best received books in the Marvel Now.
You know, I actually do believe that. I think it's because it is a different take on Thor. I mean, I like the concept of the three different eras in his life. And I think that it's an interesting read versus what we've seen in the past from Thor. You know, it's and if it carries on in an interesting way, then maybe I can do it. Yeah. But if it just becomes a Thor book, then, well.
Again, just like I say, I saw December sales figures. I'm pretty sure it was right at number 50. 50th best-selling book. So if you were to take the major characters from DC or Marvel, that's got to put it at the ones who would be a major character in Avengers or Justice League type characters. I think that would probably put it near the bottom for a solo issue.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where it levels out.
It's
Thor.
It'll keep going, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Jason Aaron is actually good at doing setups, judging from his previous work. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is heading into something really good close to the end of his run. I always find it a little bit difficult to get into his stuff, but once I'm there, Scalped, for example.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Scalped just because I know in the past I've mentioned Jason Aaron and how there was this book, Scalped, that was so incredibly well received, and I couldn't remember the name of it, and I was asking everybody else on the podcast if they knew this book, and nobody could mention it. So I'm not sure when you started reading this, Chris, but has anybody else read it?
I read it a long time ago.
Yeah, has anybody else read this? I mean, it's critically acclaimed.
Nope. I haven't read it, nope.
I've heard good things. Yeah, heard good things, but... just a little fact check there, Mo. Thor: God of Thunder number 3 came in at number 33 in December.
33 in December,
which puts it almost dead even with DC's Earth 2, and no wonder they're making changes over there because it's running ahead of Superman.
Mm. Wow! Yeah, so it's actually doing pretty well. Yeah,
I can see that. Actually, I can actually see that. I don't think Superman's doing that much.
Yeah, Fantastic Four is only sitting at 27, so there's a there's some stuff floating around that level.
All right, X-Men Legacy by Cy Spurrier and Tan Nguyen. I'm sure I've mispronounced that one, but
I'd love to know where that is on the sales figures because I can't imagine that's anywhere near the top 50.
I'm sure your pronunciation was perfect. X-Men Legacy came in at 48, and I do not know what this title is. I'll be honest.
This is it's Legion, Professor X's son, and he as a hero kind of thing. I read the first issue, hated it, and just completely couldn't do anymore. And there's no way I'm touching this book. Like not, it's one of those 10-foot pole. Like forget it. Can't pay me to read it.
I have this firmly placed in the I'm going to read it someday category when I find it being. Cheap trade paperback or something, because I love the character of Legion. However, my fear of the X-Men and getting dragged into another X-Men crossover or some sort, I know we don't do that anymore, but I've been traumatized in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with an X with it just has that stigma of I'm not going there until I know that I can separate it into its own little chunk and consume it that way.
I think you sum up a lot of how I feel there, Chris, too.
Who told you they don't do that anymore? We're only like two months out of AVX.
Okay, they keep telling us they're not going to do that anymore.
Believe it when you don't see it.
All right, we moving on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually forgot completely what it was. I even read the first issue. That is just. I also really like Legion. I remember the character. I get introduced to the character by that Sienkiewicz arc on New Mutants way back when, which was an amazing storyline.
Yeah, and every issue after that of Legion has sucked.
Yeah, it really has.
Like, I hate the character because of every issue after that.
Actually, I like Legion. I like Legion class, but that was kind of the end of the character.
My exposure to the character is not so not as much, but I've never been a fan either.
All right, move on.
Avengers and New Avengers. You know, the Jonathan Hickman, Jerome LaPena, and Hickman and Steve Epting. Well, I know that we got the two fans and we got the one not so much of a fan. And I think the only problem that I'm that I'm running into is that I think both are fine books, but I'm still not catching the wow. And I feel I do want to catch the wow. I know I feel like it's going to happen, but it's not there for me yet.
Oh man, a new Avengers. Snore.
I got the wow. Snore. I love this book. I don't understand how anyone could not get the wow.
New
However,
Avengers?
I don't particularly... Oh,
for new sorry. Avengers?
Sorry, I'm lying. I'm talking to Avengers. New Avengers, yeah, I don't have the wow on that one.
Snorefest. And a bunch of... And Black Panther. Who, you know, again, because I'm on and off, and I'm, you know, on events that occur and characterizations. Has any character just evolved more every... Like, it seems like every 5 years, it's a completely different personality on Black Panther than it was 5 years earlier. So you just never know what you're going to get, and you can't come back to the character. It's just everything changes. And a bunch of characters I didn't know, and then Hickman, who I find as somebody just who I find as emotionally I can't connect to his writing style. And, oh, man, was that a snore fest. And then, of course, Avengers, which kind of a better book, but again, I can't connect emotionally to the way he writes. So, I mean, I didn't want to continue with it. So, I mean, I only read issue one, but...
It's one of those cases where I think that, you know, I'm interested in seeing, I almost might stop reading them for about a year and then go back and see what happened and see if it really unfolds in the way I kind of expect it to.
Mm-hmm. That was the way I was introduced to the Fantastic Four, Hickman's Fantastic Four run, is that I actually ignored it for a couple of years and actually caught up right near the end, so I was really on a Hickman high by the time the series ended. It probably is a good way to go with this book.
I think it is,
although I think it's going to tie into a lot of what Marvel's doing for the next couple of years, so.
Yeah, it could be.
So it might be a good idea to keep abreast of the book, just to so you know what's going on in the rest of the Marvel Universe.
I'll let Keith fill me in on the news.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure going to be reading it either. We're going to have to do
no on the news. If something big happens, you hear about it in your news sources. Your you'll get the scoop from somebody in your sources on the street.
My contacts, my confidential informant,
the guy who shines your shoes,
right?
You're like Frank Drebin, and that guy who shines your shoes in Naked Gun. Love that guy who knows everything.
All right, well, let's talk miniseries. I think it is Avengers Arena by Dennis Hopeless and Kev Walker. I've only read the first issue, but I actually thought it was a bunch of fun. I'm totally on for this one.
I've read all the first three issues. First one didn't do much for me. Second one was awesome. Third one was pretty good. As a series, as a general rule, I'm enjoying it. To me, this is very much an introduction to a lot of these characters, and I just think it's a well-written, very characterization heavy series. Not much action wise, very characterization heavy, and I like it.
Ton of fun. I'm loving this series. Went in with high expectations because I believe at one time I pitched a book to you guys that Starred Arcade. This is the book. It has all my favorite young characters
Arcade's
fighting each
only
other.
In the first, like, he's only in like the first six pages of the first issue. I mean,
he doesn't have to star. He just puts him on an island, make the heroes fight. That's
my mistake. It's just that you used the word starring Arcade. So that's where
I just like him as a setup. I don't actually like the character. I just like a guy in a white suit showing up and going, "You two guys, fight."
No, he's not that same character in a white suit. They completely revamped that character for years, too. Probably because, you know, there's no more arcades. I'm guessing that might be a reason why. Arcades are a thing of the past, so
yeah,
he's
no,
a more powerful
this,
character
this
now.
This book is a ton of fun. The only quandary I have in him, how is this a regular series?
It's
They're
going to
kill everybody off eventually.
No, it is not. Right. It is. I'm gonna jump in. It is an ongoing series, yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well. Has it always been?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, crazy. I thought it was a miniseries. But...
Me too, because they've killed off, what, three characters so far in three issues?
And there's only 16.
Like 12 characters to start, or 16 or whatever, yeah.
So that's sort of like, are they going to, like, at the end, some heroes survive, they go off, we get a new group of heroes fight. I want to see. This is sort of exciting.
So Survivor's been on for like 12 years. How many? They kill like 15 people a year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't really follow it. So yeah. That's how it works, right?
That's hard to believe. It seems you seemed like such a fan the way you described it. What else we got, Brett?
All right.
I want to jump in that I quite like Arena as well.
Oh, okay.
People have stopped asking me my opinion, I guess.
Well, wait for you to say something.
You got to jump in, man. Yeah. All right. Cable and X-Force, by Dennis Hopeless and
just
Salvador La Roca.
Yeah. Jump in.
Yes. Yucky. It's horrible. It's terrible. Don't read it. It's terrible.
I got through two before I came to the same conclusion.
Wasn't it like December, Keith, if you still have those sales numbers up there, isn't it like number 8 highest best-selling book?
It was. Yeah, it was. Well, number 1, and all the number 1s are getting a huge boost. It was number 7 for December.
Number 7. Massive, though, still.
I can't imagine this thing staying there.
Yeah, they're all debuting really high. They're all debuting very high.
Yeah.
Now,
I guess.
I'm not reading this book, and I'm looking at the lineup, and I quite like the lineup. I'm just sort of curious. Can anyone tell me what power Dr. Nemesis has?
I've never heard of the
character.
I've read two, and so far he's a crazy doctor.
Is he one of the Grant Morrison characters?
Probably. I don't know.
My time, so.
Yeah, I never read the Grant
Whatever
Morrison
you
run,
do,
so.
He's the exact opposite. He's Dr. Nemesis. So if you have a healing power, he can't heal at all.
I might actually have to jump on this title. I just looked him up. He wears a white suit.
No,
don't do it.
It's been around since
I haven't read it. I'm getting the reviews.
This character's been around since 1941.
Oh, my.
The original one, yeah. The original was 1941, and the current version, 1993.
Okay. Wow.
And obviously a very important, great character if he's been around that long and nobody knows who the hell he is.
Considering the people in this room, we've probably read a couple comic books.
We've read one or two.
That's a character around that long and nobody here has any idea? That's amazing.
Hell, I knew who the Purple Man was before he came back, and I didn't know who Dr. Nemesis was.
All right.
The Keith, Purple Man didn't have an appearance for like 22 years.
You weighed in enough, Keith? You're okay?
Yeah, that was stinky.
All right, let's move on to something else. Thunderbolts by Daniel Way and Steve Dillon. I actually did read the second issue, and it was better than the first. I'll give it that. That's really all I got to say about
top 10
it.
Top 10 seller, though, isn't it, Keith?
It is.
Top 10? Number 10?
Number 1 was in the top 10. Was number 10 in December. But again, we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out.
Red Hulk, baby.
Number 2 should be. Number 2. There's the drop. Number 2 actually was also in December at number 3. The sampling of number 1's obviously very
also
high.
Honestly, if it takes it anywhere near number 38, I would think that would be a success. But my guess is it's out of the top 50 next month.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
I really like this book. I was the only one of us that gave it a good review, and I've read it up to number 3. Number 3 actually had laugh out loud moments.
Wow. All right, then.
That's just, look, you're biased due to your great love of the Red Hulk.
I'm a little insulted we're even talking about this one.
I laughed out loud it was an exchange between Deadpool and the Red Hulk, which is, that's like two horrible, it's not peanut butter and chocolate there, it's like two bad things that you put together and they taste good. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this book.
Well, because you're really enjoying it, I will give issue 3 a shot.
All right.
Because honestly, issue 2 was better than issue 1, so maybe if issue 3 is better than issue 2, then
maybe I'll give it another shot
someplace.
Too.
The good part of Steve Dillon doing these characters is that unlike the rest of Steve Dillon's work, where everyone looks the same, they're all in like different costumes and stuff, so you can tell them apart.
Although they're all turning red now, so
That was a gimmick.
Yeah. All right.
Chris is all mad at me now.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris is in a corner. He's in a snit.
Word book. It's awful.
Brett, what else we got?
Alrighty. We are now moving on to the, comic book. It is Morbius the Living Vampire by Joe Keating, Richard Elson. This one sucks. It's just awful. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible.
Was it amazing 698.1? It was almost like the zero episode or zero issue to this.
699.1, yeah.
699.1, yeah. And it was like his origin, and it was so freaking bad, and didn't have Spider-Man for more than two panels, despite being called Spider-Man, and I felt ripped off. I didn't have to read issue one. I read that. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. If you read that and hated it, then you'll hate issue one just as much.
Yeah.
I can't believe this was Joe Keating's consolation prize for his Thanos book being canceled.
Yeah. Because this is... If this lasts any longer than 8 issues, I'll be shocked.
No, I always kind of wondered. I mean, I didn't like the book either. Does Morbius have some sort of copyright issue that they have to reintroduce him into the Marvel Universe every 5 years? I've never read a book that is good with this character. I don't like him. Why does Marvel keep bringing him back?
I think he makes a pretty good villain.
Marvel has plenty of other supernatural characters they could have.
Well, there's nothing supernatural about this character. There's nothing supernatural about the character. But
he's vampire in the title.
I think he makes a pretty good villain to Spider-Man, and a villain with some interesting backstory in that he's not necessarily evil, but he is hungry. He can't control it. So that's fine. Just stick with that. He cannot sustain a series, and he certainly can't sustain it if the writing's going to be crap.
Well, no, but you're sort of proving my point. Why does Marvel keep reintroducing him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you.
Man-Bat makes a great Batman villain, but we don't see him getting a book every 5 years.
Nope.
Why does Marvel keep bringing this character up?
That's a crying shame.
He's best. He is best if he has a miniseries or something like that, a one-shot. That's fine. That's okay. But a regular ongoing series for Man-Bat, also not a good idea.
All right, let's move on. We're going to get crowded this episode, I think.
Burning daylight. All right. Well, last one on the list, because we're going to save Savage Wolverine for our Wii views. But last one on the list is Superior Spider-Man number 1. And, as anybody knows who's listened to the podcast so far, I really enjoyed the lead-up, and I really like Superior Spider-Man number 1, although I think the ending was not ruined for me, but it was built up to the point where when I read it, it was like, oh, really? Oh, that's it? Oh, I was expecting so much more than that. But, okay, so be it. It's good. It's a really good storyline and one of the top two books that Marvel puts out, I think, right now.
I wouldn't put it that high. I would say that it is a fun book with a storyline that is... It's fun. I'd say that's the best way to put it. It's not great written. Art certainly isn't great. But it's fun. It's a storyline that people will probably remember, but won't have any super incredibly long lasting effects. It just kind of exists to me. It's good. I enjoy it.
I'm also really enjoying it. What I'm most enjoying about what Slott's doing is that every time people think that they've gotten the last twist, there's a new one, and now
they'll be taking this so seriously, Keith. I don't know why they take it all so. No, seriously, I have no idea why they've been taking any of this so seriously.
It is.
It's just fun.
I don't get it either. As I said when we did the summit, when I was a kid, Kraven the Hunter shot Spider-Man in the face. I don't know why this is so shocking a turn of events.
This is a high quality book. Really enjoying what Slott's doing. I agree with you, Keith, that the twists keep coming. I think Ryan Stegman's art on this book is worth highlighting. I really like his style. I think it's unusual for a comic book to have such a cartoony style, yet have the subject matter sort of a little bit more serious. I'm really enjoying the book. A lot of fun.
I don't know. Do you really find the subject matter serious? I really don't find it that serious. It's just, to me, I think the art style, one of the reasons I think it's fun is because the art style has a little cartoony to it. And to me, because it's a fun book and plot style is kind of fun and it's just kind of, to me, I'm sorry, it feels like a throwaway story to me that I really love.
You know,
to me, it feels like
a
standalone 12-issue, Spider-Man miniseries that's throwaway. That's what it feels like to me. Like,
You could be right, but I think if Slott has his way and gets where he's going, I think this could have some major ramifications down the line, and not what people are thinking it's going to be, what everyone's being panicking about. I think this is going to change some dynamics in the Marvel Universe. And I think it's finally going to fix the whole Mary Jane, Peter Parker dynamic.
I don't have that much faith, Chris. I just don't have that much faith in Slott's talent. And I will hold up the Mary Jane. The one thing that really sticks out like a sore thumb is the Mary Jane, Peter Parker interactions as being awful in the book and being completely unrealistic. And to me that, like... because it's unimportant, it's easy to just brush that off.
Has anybody read The Avenging, the new one,
I read 15.1. I thought that was better. Actually, as far as a quality book, that just wrote a better storyline, a better characterization. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to reading 16, but I haven't got a chance to come out with it because it just came out a few hours ago here, so I haven't gotten to it yet.
I read it and I really like it. I really like the number one thing that I like about the Spider-Man right now is I really like the Doc Ock Spider-Man. I'm actually enjoying him more than I have enjoyed Peter Parker in years. And so it's one of those cases where like, hey, this is a totally new take on a character that I've really liked. So yeah, I'm big on this one. And you're right though. Avenging Spider-Man may actually be better written than Superior.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed when I was talking to a couple of people who had skipped the Avenging issue and only read The Amazing Spider-Man. The heavy lifting of developing this character was done in that 15.1. It wasn't done in 700 or Superior number one.
No, I think he does a great job of really developing the Doc Ock Spider-Man. All right, we have wrapped up Marvel Now.
Well, not quite. I want to go through two things here. Number one, overall thoughts on Marvel Now. But number two, before we do that, Chris mentioned something about how it was Incredible Hulk. Who was it who was writing before Jason Aaron? Is it Jason Aaron,
yeah.
Chris? There's a lot of plot threads that just got discarded for the sake of this Marvel Now. How much have we seen of that? How many people have been moved just someplace else? And what's been thrown out of the past has been like, how many times are these moves necessary and have they worked out, or how many times have we actually lost quality work because of it?
I'd say it's going to be. I mean, in this case, most of this, all the senior people knew that this was coming and had worked their arcs toward it. Hickman and Brubaker was naturally going to be leaving. Hickman was wrapping his stuff up. Fraction was wrapping his stuff up. So I think it would only be a couple of the people that actually would have been kind of really shuffled by what was going on.
And I think we've been saved a little bit by the rolling release of these titles. Is that there wasn't a cutoff point like the New 52. Where it was like, okay, this month everyone has a number one. I think a lot of series actually got a chance to wrap up.
Yeah, and that was one of the disappointments of New 52, because there were a lot of things that people were building toward that had to get thrown out for the concept and what they were doing in New 52. The whole JLI Generation Lost. Who knows if it'll even come out in trade paperback, because it all leads to nothing. And there was a lot of that stuff in New 52, because you know, the senior people certainly knew what was happening and were ready for it, but so many of them weren't.
I think that what I'm thinking with Marvel Now is that before Marvel Now, I was really on a downslide for Marvel. I wasn't really reading very much Marvel. I wasn't interested in many of the books that they were releasing. When we reviewed them, I didn't particularly care for them very much. But now, there is, so far, 10 books that I'm getting from Marvel that I am pretty much genuinely interested in where they're going. And that's a huge climb, you know, from basically one or zero. You know, I'm really happy with the quality so far of Marvel Now, and I hope that they can keep it going.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm reading Indestructible Hulk, Avengers Arena, and one we didn't actually mention, I don't know if it's because it doesn't qualify as Marvel Now, and that's Punisher Warzone, which is frickin' awesome.
Warzone is actually the end of the pre-now stuff.
It's the end of the pre-now, okay, but it's tremendous.
This is the last Rooker thing, and then...
That makes sense. So I mean, that's what I'm reading. I mean, it's three books, and two of them are miniseries. You know, I mean...
No.
Well, I guess you're right. Avengers Arena, now we know, is not a miniseries. So it's three books, and two are ongoing. Yeah, I mean, I just... And this is where I don't understand. I mean, what's the overall quality here? Again, about the same as a DC. 50% of the books are good, and 50% aren't so good. Nothing special there. They own about 40... I think about 42% of the market share, and DC owns about 36% in December, something like that. You know, I mean, this is shortly after the Marvel Now, not a huge, you know, massive success. I guess there was about $20 million in sales in December, I seem to remember, so they got 42% of that. So that's about $8 million in sales, which sounds probably better than it really is. I look at it, and I think, it's really good if you were a Marvel reader, and this is where I think that you can't give these guys Publisher of the Year. And this is the thing, Brett. For you. Now, I'm going to go back to this. Because I've been waiting on this.
For I love you, that this Brett, was all a build to explain Brett for what happened with the Wii Talkie.
Well, yeah. Awesome. But Brett, you talk about you were already a Marvel reader. You weren't reading as much as you were before, but you were a Marvel reader and you were somewhat familiar with the characters. And I think if you're a Marvel reader already who wanted to read Captain America but didn't know where to jump on, or you wanted to read Thor, you wanted to read Avengers, whatever, you didn't know where to jump on, this was a great shuffle to get you back into those new series and those characters and give you a jump on point. I think if you have been any more than 2 to 3 years outside of reading Marvel, or are a reader from DC, or are a reader from 20 years ago, it's done nothing to create... I'm not even talking about bringing people in. I'm talking about if people did come in and they gave it a chance, I think it leaves them as confused as ever. And therefore, I don't consider this to be a success in the least. And I don't see how you can quantify that it is.
I don't agree with you in the least. I mean, I look at books like Captain America and Thor and any of the books like that, and they're completely... you know, restarting with very little for anything that I knew. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I haven't been reading Marvel in years. So for me to say that...
That's not true. Brett. I know that's not true.
I read 2004. I was reading 2004. You know, that's not exactly 2010.
That's not true, Brett. I mean, you've read 2004 completely, but you've read enough of the major issues and the major, major stuff from 2011 through the reviews on this show and through 2010 and debuts and number ones and the news and all this stuff to be familiar with the product.
Well, in that case, so have you.
Well, yeah, I know, and I'm not talking about me.
But
I never did bring me up.
No, but okay.
I'm talking about people who aren't me. Right. I already find it confusing.
But you didn't give them Publisher of the Year. I did.
Well, yeah, but now I'm telling you, I want you to defend that. You say, and I understand that, but I understand you're saying you look at Captain America and you go, okay, fine, Brett, but is the Amazing Spider-Man a good jump-on point? Sort of, because it's a new Amazing Spider-Man. But let's face it, it doesn't do anything to really, you know, certainly Uncanny Avengers or, you know, Avengers and all this stuff doesn't in any way provide any context or background, or it feels like you need to have some understanding of the continuity already to me for too much of this to have been, even as a soft relaunch, to have been successfully done. Because understand, even if you're not reading the series, Brett, you understand the continuity and the backstories.
You know what? I disagree with you on that point. I don't really understand. I never read AVX. I never read Spider Island. So, you know what? I don't necessarily know the backstory on these very well, but the truth of the matter is that as I read them, I might have some confusion, but the overlying story is what's engaging me right then and there. I bypass the fact that I don't understand what's going on, and if I do, then great. I have a benefit.
Captain but at America, the end of the- you read, right? Fantastic Four, you read. FF, you read.
No, I haven't read Captain America since I've read the first 20 or 28 issues of Captain America. That's it.
Fantastic Four, you read.
I read the first year. The first year, not the last two. You know, I haven't read as much as you think.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If you're within 2 to 3 years, you're fine. You have enough of a sense of what's going on. As far as anything more in that, I don't think they've done a good job of giving a jump on point, which to me was the point. I don't think they've done a good enough job of giving people a point where they could feel like they could walk in on enough of these series and feel comfortable.
I get what you're saying, okay? I truly understand that you don't believe they have a good jump on point. Maybe they don't, but the truth of the matter is, for me, I will say right now that I've gone from basically a fringe to being a fringe Marvel reader to having 10 series that I like and two in that I think are exceptionally good. So for me to say yes right now because of the strong finish, there you go. I give Marvel Publisher of the Year. Okay? You don't like it. Fine.
That's not what I said, Brett. I didn't say I didn't like it. And I did. At any point in time did you hear me say those words? Don't put words in my mouth. I did not say I didn't like it. I did not say that it's an utter fail. I did say, this is my issue. Now make your point to defend it, because I don't understand that point. Like, I just don't.
My point. I said.
No, you did. You got it. I got what you're saying now. But I never said it. I didn't say I didn't like it. I didn't say it's terrible. I didn't say any of these things. I think it's a disappointment. I don't think they've done a good job with that. I think probably 50% of the books are good books and 50% aren't good, again, which is about the same as DC, I'll say, which is lesser than Image and about the same as most companies in history. And Lord knows DC doesn't have, or Image doesn't have all hits, because we'll get to some of that in the Wii views. You know, it's just, yeah, that's, so I'm not saying it's terrible, Brett, but it's just not exceptional. That's kind of where I was going with it. But, yeah, I mean, no, that's fine. That's fine. You can go from, what, a fringe reader to a reader of 10 books. That is a success.
I mean, that's really where I look at it. I mean, I've...
When I look at them having 42% of the market share compared to 36% from DC, though, and that's with them getting a boost of a lot of these number ones and a lot of double shippings, to me, they didn't take over enough of the extra market share to make me think that this is a success as far as jump on points. And I can go back to that as a point. But I just don't think, as far as what they needed to do, that they properly pulled it off. And that's kind of my thing. I think probably as far as for, like I say, people who are somewhat familiar, I think they succeeded. And as far as actually putting out more good series, perhaps they've succeeded. I just don't think that I think they could have done a better job. And I'll hold their feet to the fire for that. That's not the same thing, like I say, Brad. I'm not saying they're terrible, and I'm not saying I don't like it.
Okay, I know what you're saying, and that's all. I mean, you've repeated yourself a few times, and I think we're good on that.
Yeah, whatever. It's a debate. That's what they're meant to be. Gentlemen, any other thoughts on those?
The only thing I really have to say about Marvel now is I'm surprised how uneven it's been. You were saying these books are 50-50, just like... when the new 52 launched,
mm-hmm.
I have problems with the the difference in quality, because with the New 52s, I found a lot of there was a lot of mediocre books in there. With this new Marvel Now, I'm finding a lot of books, either I love them or I absolutely despise them.
Thunderbolts.
Well, there's Thunderbolts, but I mean, there's also a couple of Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Deadpool, that actually sort of make me mad at Marvel. I just can't believe we have books. Sure, we got books at the upper echelon, but I don't think there's too many middle of the road books.
I'd agree with that, actually. I you know what? There was a lot. I would say 60 to 70%. I'd say like 15% of DC I thought was excellent, 15% terrible, and like 60, 70% was just kind of mediocre. Whereas you're right, this is more love it or hate it.
Which makes me think maybe that they weren't quite as prepared as they thought they were heading into Marvel Now. Mm-hmm. To get the level of those lower end books up to a point that they were readable. And the ones that we're loving aren't truly a surprise, other than Avengers Arena, which I wasn't really... I was looking forward to the concept. I wasn't looking forward to the creative team. I think they've stepped up. But we could have we sort of predicted which books we'd like before we even read them. And I knew I was going to love the Avengers because I love Hickman. There's not a lot of surprises here. I wanted more surprises, something that I'd go, yes, this is new, this is different. If you had asked me to give reviews of all these books before they ever came out, I would have told you exactly the same thing as I told you today. I wanted to be surprised, and I wasn't. And from a creative standpoint, I think that's a fail.
Now, does anybody know what Hopeless has done before? Just by the way, besides having the greatest name ever for a comic book writer?
I don't know his name very well. I don't know his backstory, actually.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, he surprised me as well. So.
I believe I've read some independent stuff from him, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. It didn't stand out.
Well, I'm curious, because you had said that Superior Spider-Man you didn't think was a top-tier book. What would you say is the best Marvel book right now?
Who said that?
You.
You did.
Oh,
you said Superior wasn't a top-tier book. So.
I said it was fun. I said I really enjoyed it.
I didn't.
Not
you
excellent,
didn't say that you
but
didn't
it's good.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. Is what would you consider is, like, what's the best Marvel book then?
Well, like I say, I am reading two. I would say of the ones I've tried, Avengers Arena is the one that I would list as the best right now. Three issues in that I've enjoyed the most. The only other regular series that I would go is Indestructible Hulk. I loved issue one of FF, and I think it's going to be tremendous again if I can ever get a hold of issue number two. Like I say, it was sold out. Other than that, almost everything else, I tried it and tried Captain America, tried Fantastic Four, tried Avengers. Didn't try many of these X books. That's true.
Sorry, it's a longer answer than I was actually.
But no, I tried these. None of these left me with anything going, oh, I got to keep reading that. They're just, you know, nothing spectacular.
Okay, well, we've definitely now we've beaten Marvel into the ground.
Okay, that good talk on Marvel. Good talk on Marvel. If anybody has any opinions on what we've said, you can reach us all individually on our Twitters, which we'll give at the end, or email comics@wetalkpodcast.com. That's a good way to give your opinions. Or post a comment at the bottom of the show in the comment sections. Let's move on here to Chris's comic book attractions. Chris, what do we got here?
We got G-Men from Hell this week.
Excellent. Do it. And we're back. Like we said, we're going to talk about some predictions. Everybody's brought four predictions, and we're going to do them really kind of quickly now, go through them, and have some fun and see if anybody else wants to make a prediction as well. Brett, my friend, what do you got?
All right. Well, I decided to do them by basically the top four companies, so I did like one for each wacky kind of thing. So I'm going to say which character will be the first to really die in Valiant, and I'm going to go with the entirety of our Marines so that they don't actually have to bring them back in any way, shape, or form. They'll bring them back for an issue and kill them, a la G.I. Joe.
Who's going to die in... If that's the question, who's going to die in Valiant?
Yes.
Oh. Bloodshot's their lowest seller. Harbinger's going to die. That's the one they can live without.
I'm just putting this out there because I hope it's the one character that's going to go. Ninjak. God, I hate that purple guy.
Purple Ninja doesn't do it for you.
I'm going to go with Geomancer.
Geomancer
rocks.
They're just about to reintroduce Geomancer.
That's right, in Archer and Armstrong.
That's a good choice.
Chris, give us a prediction.
All right. This one, I'm going out on a limb here, actually. I think by the end of this year, by January 1, 2014, Dark Horse will enter receivership. I believe the loss of the Star Wars property, and although I love their house style, I think they're stagnant in their house style. I think they have some rough financial roads to cross in the next year, and I don't know if anyone in management is up to the task. Any idea?
I don't think there's any way in hell that happens. But anyway in Hellboy, yeah. No, I don't think there's any way that happens.
I think that I don't know. I'm inclined to. I don't know if that's a little soon, but Dark Horse is one of the only holdouts for Comixology. Dark Horse runs their own app, and which you know isn't wowing me. I mean, Comixology has become the one-stop shop for digital, but it's not the one-stop shop without Dark Horse. Dark Horse is trying to do their own thing, and I think that my companion prediction is that they finally buy into Comixology.
Hmm. All right, Keith, give us your prediction.
All right, I'm gonna say, who dies this year? what major character is gonna die? What major character is gonna die this year? And knowing that there's a Thanos event coming up sometime this year, I'm gonna say Silver Surfer.
All right, I'll go right now. I'll give you my pick, Barry Allen.
Ooh, Blue Beetle dies.
You know what? I'm listening to Keith taking it in, and since Marvel always has this little thing where they're teasing they're going to kill Silver Surfer, and then they end up killing Adam Warlock, I think they're going to do that again. Warlock, yeah.
Adam Warlock's going to...
Warlock's toast.
I don't even know if he's alive yet right now. Although it doesn't matter.
He'll be resurrected and killed.
Yeah, it didn't hurt them with Mar-Vell. They brought him back and killed him for issues.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to do my prediction, and it is how many times this year will we comic book companies market to us that they're giving us a jump on point? I got the over and under at 6.
I don't know that there's enough universes to do that, but...
anybody else got a prediction on that one?
I'm gonna go with 0. I actually think that nobody's gonna try and pawn it off on us this year.
Okay,
I'm gonna say 2.
2.
My money's on Brett. Actually, I don't think it's gonna happen either.
Ooh. All right. We'll see. Brett, prediction time.
All right. So I'm gonna jump out for what I think the worst new Marvel Now series could be that they'll create. Because they're throwing a lot of random characters into some of these. And I was going to go with, if they brought Sleeper back for a Marvel Now series. But after Chris, I'm going with Warlock as a Marvel Now run so they can kill him.
I'm misunderstanding a little bit. What character doesn't have a series that they're going to bring back that'll be the worst?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sleepwalker's a good pick. Sleepwalkers. There's Silver Sable. Silver Sable's a good pick.
Oh, Silver Sable's a great pick if she wasn't there.
I'm going to go out on a limb that the Guardians of the Galaxy book's going to be terrible.
Really? That's a limb?
That's not much of a limb.
Like, that's a big branch there, my friend.
Power Pack by Matt Fraction lives in my dream.
Oh, no.
That'll be awesome in a horrible way.
Oh, boy. All right, Chris, prediction.
All right. Okay. I'm predicting in 2014, DC is going to do something wacky with the Robins. We need to lose a Robin. We got way too many of them. So I can easily see several of these Robins turning into a villain. They may kill one. There is going to be some sort of Robin-esque event happening in 2014. We need to lose one, and I don't know how they're going to do it.
I think they're going to kill Damian. I'm going to say Damian doesn't make it through the air if we're going with that. Intriguing. You don't have to make a prediction if you don't have one.
Well, I've heard Girl Robin as a potential, so that's that could be an interesting one.
Oh, so you think
that would be
Robin
more Robin?
You would think Brett is betting on an increased number of Robins.
Yeah,
that's possible too.
they could get their own book and call it Birds of Non-Prey.
I think maybe we see Dead Damian and Lazarus Pit Damian in the same year, and then we get a Robin, and we get a solo Robin book again.
Zombie Robins?
Could be. All right, Keith, you got one?
Sure. Long shot Marvel or DC revamp character. Obscure character who gets a revitalization because we just saw Captain Carrot is coming back in Threshold
as Captain K-Rot.
Captain K-Rot.
Nice! I'm so there.
And I've got two because I've realized that in saying the long shot DC Marvel revamp character, I'm also going to say Amazing Man.
Oh, Amazing Man. That would be wicked. NFL Super Pro.
Have we had the Harry Man show up? No, Starro? When's the last time Starro showed up? Starro, damn it. Starro and Captain Carrot back again one more time.
I miss you, 1980.
You did say Marvel, did you not?
I said Marvel or DC. Then I'll jump into one.
And the
Nomad!
I'm throwing a wacky one out there. Comet Man.
There you go.
Oh.
Oh, great character. In a terrible way. Star-Lord.
Star-Lord is getting
Jack of Heart.
Star-Lord, you're stacking the deck. Star-Lord's already getting a rebound.
There you go. All right, guys, what will be the worst comic book related movie of 2013? I'm going Iron Man 3 this year, right?
Yes, it is.
That's my pick, Iron Man 3.
Well, you didn't like, or you didn't bother watching Iron Man 2, so.
Yes, I did, you idiot.
Oh, that's right, you just didn't like it, and therefore didn't watch anything else, yes.
This prediction.
I haven't watched anything since.
There is no competition in the year that has the Wolverine coming out.
There you go.
Keith, you're wrong. You're forgetting the huge train wreck that Man of Steel is going to be.
Yeah, that was on my second pick.
We got about, I think there's about six, actually. I was talking to someone the other day. I was talking to my father-in-law who was running through them with me. I think there's six major comic movies this week. Because we've got the 300 prequel, we've got Sin City 2.
You have any idea, Brett? You have one?
I might say the 300 prequel.
Okay.
Just that I don't... It'll probably do big box office, but I don't know that it'll be very good.
No. All right, what else you got, Brett?
All right, which DC character will be the next to come out of the closet? And I'm going with, to boost flagging sales, I am going with Deathstroke the Terminator.
Booster Gold! Booster Gold.
He's been hanging out with Wintergreen too long.
I like Brett's prediction. I'm going there. I'd read that book.
I know you're going there.
Booster Gold's bisexual.
Pardon me?
I believe they've established Booster Gold's bisexual.
I don't think they've established it. I think they've hinted at it.
They've hinted at it, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm going with him.
All right.
That's cheating. I know, but what the hell?
I'm going to say Tim Drake.
Ooh, actually, that's a good one.
That's a good that's one, a good too. One. There you go.
It explains the whole spoiler thing.
Then both Brown. Our predictions will come true.
All right, what do we got? Chris's turn again.
My turn again. Okay, I will be predicting that Wolverine will get a major revamp by the end of the year.
I'm due predicting you're wrong.
Sale. Maybe this is just wishful thinking. I would like a Wolverine I can read back. I truly think that there's a possibility that Wolverine will get a series such as Wolverine Origins, something to bring him back to what Wolverine needs to be.
Anybody else? I say no.
Definitely not.
I say yes if the movie tanks.
And the movie, wow. All right, Keith?
Yes, last 2012 was the year of creator-owned projects from some of the biggest names in the big two, doing a lot of side projects. Who will be the next breakout creator-owned writer or artist? It could be someone who has not done creator-owned in quite a while and is coming back to it. We already know Gail Simone's got something in the pipe. I'm guessing James Robinson, though.
You're talking who's an established writer that's going to do something great in the creator-owned world? Is that the prediction? Or?
Correct. Because we've seen, Jonathan Hickman, of course, has taken that route. Mm-hmm. We've got creator-owned from Scott Snyder coming up this year from through Vertigo.
I'll say Rucka.
Well, Rucka's already.
That's totally safe. Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly.
Taken that he's been doing it for a year. And has given up the picture.
Yeah, that's kind of my.
I don't know. You're talking about that limb. That limb.
I'm a heavy guy. Got to have a big limb.
I actually can't wait to see what Rob Liefeld's going to do.
It will be creator owned.
You hear that little silence there? here's my prediction. Okay, what two companies will merge or major publisher will purchase another publisher this year? I'm going to say that Oni Press will be purchased by DC.
I don't actually see what that would get them, but...
Well, if anyone's in a position to gain from a merger right now.
Yeah, unless somebody buys Dark Horse.
Well, so? Actually, I was thinking a IDW Dark Horse merger could be very advantageous for both sides, because IDW has the properties. Dark Horse has shown that they know how to capitalize on that. I think that would be a win-win situation.
John Byrne and Mike Mignola back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, last one.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with which creator leaves Image in a huff to form his own company. That'll have to be Rob Liefeld. He got so addicted by leaving DC and tweeting about it for 9 months that he will have to leave Image and tweet about it for 9 months plus. I think he's going to want to get another book out of it.
Brett, I'm going to stick with Liefeld. That is a safe. There's a that's not a limb, that's an entire damn branch. That's yeah.
I'm going to bet the opposite. I bet that Image adds a partner this year. Is that they added Kirkman a few years ago? It's been a while. If they haven't added anyone in a while.
Steve Niles?
No, I'm with Keith, actually. Chu's been doing really well. Greg Lehman.
John Lehman?
That's it. I could see him stepping up.
He does have the TV deal coming, so.
And he's got Detective Comics.
Okay. Chris, your prediction.
I'm predicting the most screwed over writer in 2014 will be Dan Slott. I think Marvel will bow to Twitter pressure and he will be dismissed unceremoniously.
I don't know about who's the most screwed of a writer, but sure as hell no, it isn't Dan Slott, the writer of the number one selling book by a long shot of December. And I'm predicting the number one selling book of January as well.
The year's a long time.
Nope.
That is like 47 more issues. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They're publishing it every 4.5 hours now. Presses just don't stop.
Anybody else got one on that?
I'm gonna say Rick Remender.
Hmm.
I think that he's gonna have the lowest performing Avengers book, and he's gonna have it snatched out of his hand.
Was Gail Simone the most screwed over writer of this past year?
I would actually go with Rucka, but
okay.
I mean Simone, at least it was sorted in 2 weeks.
That's true. That's true. Got a prediction there, Keith?
Yes, this is actually a little similar to something Mo said. We haven't seen a cross-company production in quite a long time. Really since, I think, Marvel and Dynamite was the last one we saw. So what two companies are going to do a partnership project this year? And I'm gonna guess IDW and Boom.
I think we're going to do... That's a good one. I think Valiant is going to do some sort of Predator or Aliens, but likely Predator crossover with, like, Exo Manowar.
I haven't seen anything like that either.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know who it would be with, but Valiant is crossing over with somebody. I think it's in their DNA.
All right. And I guess I got the last prediction to throw out here, and this one is, what book that's nowhere near being a bestseller right now will begin to regularly crack the top 20 by the end of the year? I'm going to say Winter Soldier. I think Winter Soldier, due to a crossover at some point with the number 20 selling book Captain America and Avengers, which is a top 5 selling book, will have its sales boost up, and due to the quality will continue to be somewhere in the top 20 fairly regularly before the end of the year.
Superman.
Well, it's not that far off. It's not like...
Off.
It's number 38 or something, you said. That's not that far from number 20. Winter Soldier's like number 99. That's where, right, nowhere near.
I'll make a further
He's
guess.
He's Superman. That's a limb.
37, actually.
Oh, there you go. You showed me.
School. Yeah.
Anybody else got a prediction on what series might become a bestseller that's nowhere near right now?
Nope.
I'm going to go further out. I have no comment. I'm going to say Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark, I think, is a good pick, too. I think that's a good pick.
Currently at 77.
There you go. That's more like it. All right, guys, let's get on to the Wii Views. Because Keith...
Here I come to save the day.
We are saving you from bad comedy.
There you go. Smooth. Smooth. Mm-hmm. It's like we're out of practice or something. It's been a while since we've done any Wii Views. And I just want to say, because we don't have time to do it, Star Wars number 1 by Brian Woods from Dark Horse. Awesome. Anyways, let's move on to this week's actual Wii Views. Brett, what do we got first? What are we going to do? Let's do Todd number 1 from Image. Who's the creators on this? Anybody keep in mind? Story by Perker and Christensen, written by Ken Christensen, and art and cover by M.K. Perker. So Christensen and Perker. Todd number 1 from Image. Brett, what do you think?
Well, those are two names that I will immediately file into the discard bin, the refuse of humanity for releasing this book, and unfortunately, I spent my time reading it. A hellish book that I hope never to see grace the store shelves ever in my life, and this is definitely one of those on the wrong side of 50-50 or 60-40 in Image.
It's not my turn yet. It's Chris's turn. But I will say, Brett, it seems to me you were a little kind on this book. That's just a little teaser for what I'm going to say. Chris?
Yeah. Let's say the full title, Todd, ugliest kid on earth, ugliest comic book on earth. Actually, I lie. I liked the art, and I was actually kind of excited opening the first page of the book. It looks like the kind of thing I'd like, but the cynicism within two or three pages got me so freaking depressed. This is not only a bad book, it is a bleak book. Do not read this. If you have any sort of depression tendencies, this could push you over the edge. Wow. Just bad book. I mean, very few books will have a death toll. This one will.
As someone who was bullied as a kid, I hate stories that are entirely about bullying and the bullies get away with it. This is just all of the quote unquote humor in the book is entirely a passive kid getting pushed around by everyone around them. It's Meet the Fockers kind of humor. I hate it.
Yeah, this book is so bloody awful. It falls off a cliff so quick. Like, every character is dislikable. Even the character who is the optimistic kid who you want to cheer for, he's dislikable because he's such a pussy. Like, the whole thing, it's really mean-spirited. And it's really offensive and really throws around a lot of racial and terms and that type of thing, trying to be enough funny or cutting edge or what. If you're going to, you know what, I think this thinks it's such clever social commentary, but you know what, it's not clever and it's not funny and it's not good. I would avoid Todd Ugliest, like, I would avoid it. I would, if it was on the street, in front of me, and I had a chance to step over to cross the street, I'd leave town to another street in another city, probably in another country to get away from this book. Still not the worst book of the week. Brett, let's talk about...
You want to talk about the worst book of the week?
I want to talk about the worst book of the week. Insurgent number one from DC. This is written by F.J. DeSanto, art by Todd Farmer and Frederick Dalloccio. Brett?
I'll tell you what. I'm not even going to talk about the story or the writing. I'm going to talk about how horrible the art is in this book.
This book
looks like it was drawn by a four-year-old. It's for a major release for somebody. It's awful. Every panel is exactly the same size for the most part. Like, you go through three pages and it looks like the exact same page over and over and over again. It's horrible. It's a disgusting book from, like, the fact that this is DC releasing this. I'd expect this from IDW.
IDW has better taste than this.
Way better taste.
Chris?
Yeah. I think this book is actually indicative of what DC thinks of science fiction. This is not... I mean, it has bad art, and the writing's nothing special either. But it's also bland. I mean, what is the selling point of this book? You have generic-looking characters talking to other generic characters. And, I mean, science fiction should be interesting. There should be a hook. There should be something thrown out there. And this has nothing. They're trying to sort of wedge in sort of a superhero... people know what we're talking about universe without actually introducing anything. There's nothing interesting here. I really don't understand who thought this was a good idea. I Keith. Didn't like it. So,
Keith, what do you think?
Well, that was all right. It took me a few pages to get into. I'll see when the second one comes up if I remember enough for the first issue. I do agree that the art is pretty substandard. It doesn't look inked. It's got a really unfinished look to it. Yeah, I wondered if. Yeah, I do wonder if it was inked at all. or they just went right from pencils. Yeah, it's really weak as far as the. It just doesn't look finished. Deep breath, Mo, because that's good podcast.
Yeah. I don't know where to begin. This is being recorded January 16th, 2013. We have an early contender for worst book on our countdown for 2013. It's going to be tough to beat this, folks. This is a six-issue miniseries. You're going to notice on the cover of Insurgent, five characters displayed prominently. Not one of them actually in the book. I mean, the characters, the storyline and the dialogue is just so generic. I've read this story a million times, but it really is the art that turns me off here. I mean, you have characters in this that are parents of other characters, and I don't care if this character's in here like 60 years old, and the characters are in here are like 14, and every single character in this book looks 21. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. There's no backgrounds to speak of. You know, actually, as far as a writing or art is concerned, this book made me appreciate the talents of Rob Liefeld. That's how badly I think of this book. Awful. Brett, last book of the week.
All right.
Savage Wolverine by our good friend. What's up, bitches?
Frank Cho. Yes.
Go back in the archives. Listen to our interview with him. He's awesome.
Yes, and he in fact, mentioned this book. Not by name, of course, but mentioned that he had a big project. And we finally get the fruits of his labor. And in this case, it's a setup issue, but I'm almost not surprised that it has Shanna the She-Devil in it. But,
because remember when you were in the interview with him, he said, I have a big top project coming up. And you go, is it Shanna the She-Devil? And he kind of smiles and goes, I can't say. And then Keith mentions later that he's doing, like 2 weeks later, the news comes out he's doing this book. And it still has Shanna in him. He's doing a Wolverine book and it still has Shanna in it. That's awesome.
I mean,
of our interview with him was talking about how he likes to draw sexy women for no reason.
Oh, yeah, totally. And Shanna seems to be a sexy woman for no reason in this book, but I didn't really care. I actually thought it was kind of fun. I like his take on Wolverine, to be honest with you. And the story seems completely kind of throwaway, but hey, I'll stick with this one.
Chris?
Oh, it's eye candy. I enjoyed it. I will hope that Cho has gone back and looked at some of the previous incarnations of the Savage Land. I'd love to see some of the strange characters, not just dinosaurs that we've seen in the Savage Land, perhaps from Bruce Jones' run, introduced with his art style. I can't say I love this book, but I enjoyed looking at it, which is really my review of every Frank Cho book. not exactly deep. I recommend it, but you know what? If you don't dig sexy women, you might want to skip this one.
So that is less than 1% of our potential listeners.
Yes.
So Matt Santori Griffin. Griffin?
Nope. Wow. Just stop. Just stop saying it. Okay.
At Photocub.
There's a really decent chance that if we just said Matt, everyone would know who we were talking about.
At this point, hopefully. Keith, what do you think of it?
I didn't really like it. It's kind of pretty, but it's a lot like a Wolverine book. And I haven't liked the other 14 Wolverine books, so I won't be returning to the Savage Land.
Okay.
Oh, you'll return to the Savage Land, just maybe not on
which
this book.
I still am. I'm thankful that it was explained to me that it's above ground. So I can't remember who explained that to me. Thank you.
Hey, is this a miniseries?
No.
This has to be a miniseries.
No, it's ongoing.
this makes no sense as an ongoing series. That's it. Wolverine is going to be perpetually stuck in the Savage Land while he's the member of the Avengers.
We are not supposed to pay attention to that anymore.
And while he's the head master of the school for gift... What? It's not a miniseries? It's an alternate reality? It is not a miniseries,
but none of the Marvel Now books make any sense together. You know, Captain America is lost in another dimension in his own book. The indestructible Hulk bears no relation to the Hulk that's been appearing in the Avengers book. I think you're supposed to throw that stuff out now. I don't think you are supposed to. I think you're supposed to read one or two of these books, but not any combination of them.
That said, well, that part I had no idea because I kept on looking on the cover, going, "Where's the? How many issues is this? I see a number one. Where's the of six or of four?" But as a book, I don't think this is Frank Cho's best art. I think he's done a lot better in this. It's still pretty good. But because Frank Cho is just exceptionally talented. It took a little while for me to get into the story, but then I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the setup of basically they're stuck on the Shanna and Wolverine. They're stuck on an island where they cannot escape a different part of the Savage Land. They cannot get out of, and they're trying to figure out a way out of it with a force field thing around them. And you got smarter natives and smarter dinosaurs than usual. It's a little bit Turok the Dinosaur Hunter. I found his Wolverine likable. Worked for me. I really enjoyed it by the end of it. I thought it was a fun book. I'll definitely be back for number two. And for however many it lasts.
Well, it's Frank Cho, so it'll be four issues, then two issues of filler.
There'll be a few pin-ups. All of a sudden, there's no reason. Just like there's like a, you know, 8-page spread of Shanna in a bikini.
The unrated editions that'll come out with her with
slips.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he'll leave the book.
I was looking for a rating on this book because there's like some very graphic decapitations and stuff. So I was looking for a rating, but there seemed to be nothing there either. So.
It's a violent book.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's Wolverine, but yeah, it just seemed with no rating, it was a pretty violent book.
Okay, wrap this bad boy up, Mo.
Yeah. Comics at WeTalkPodcast.com. I'm Mo_WeTalk. That's Mo at Mo_WeTalk is my Twitter. Shout out to Comic Canuck. Shout out to Comicosity. Shout out to
Comics Podcast Network.
Comics Podcast Network. What the hell? Other than that, we're OUT at least on my end. Brett.
All right, Brett_WeTalk. My stuff's going to be coming out on Comicosity soon. Read it.
Chris_WeTalk. Follow me on Twitter. Keith.
Cub Reporter K on Twitter, and I apologize to my new employer in advance because I'm going to be sleepy tomorrow morning at work. I'm adjusting to a new schedule.
And we're on iTunes, so go in there and rate us and stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're done.